Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. I can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I am uber excited. I have a phenomenal guest, and this person is coming to us from Birmingham, England. It is late in the day for him, but it's early in the morning for me. And his name is Johnny Cooper. And the one thing I can say about Johnny is Johnny hates marketing. So he's going to be a very negative person today. No, I'm kidding. He's actually very positive, and he does motivational things all the time. This man does a brain dump, and you can talk about that a little bit when we get there, Johnny. Every single day, he's done it for 700 days straight, which is
735, please.
That's 735. Excuse me, 735. What do you call it?
Daily brain tattoo.
I love that. So, Johnny, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. I always reflect at this point when we're across the Atlantic like this live. Isn't technology amazing? Hasn't it brought the world together? It's just fabulous, isn't it?
It is. And just how it's really shrunk the world, you know, and it's made us all a lot more connected, and it's given us perspective. I mean, it's fabulous. And speaking of perspective, we have something in common. We are both musicians. You grew up playing keyboards, because I was on your podcast. We were talking about that. And, you know, me doing my thing on music, a lot of people know that. But how did you go from being a musician to a marketing coach and the kind of things that you're doing now?
Well, the short version is that being a musician keeps you broke.
Yes.
So not being a professional musician. we have a joke in our circles over here. You may have heard it. The difference between a professional musician and a 14-inch pizza.
What's that?
The answer is that a 14-inch pizza can feed a family of four.
See? Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah. So that's kind of, you know, that's kind of the bottom line, I guess. I can't say any better than that. So I kind of just tumbled into a career in sales with no real qualifications. A few years down the line after that, I morphed that into a career in a financial consultancy that I started. And that was kind of, I guess, my big business success story, if you like. But sold out and then just fell into coaching and consultancy. Almost by accident, you know, some of the folks who were our clients in that business wanted to continue to hang out with me and let me guide them, ask me to guide them on growth strategies for their own businesses, you know. You know, and I was just that archetypal general business coach, you know, the go-to guy for business tips. So I just had to make some changes, and I've morphed into what you see now in the Johnny Hates Marketing thing. Relatively recently, you know, I've only been going a couple of years.
So you started out, the name of your company, like my company is B2B Interactive Marketing. Very, very few people even know what that is, what it means. You know, they just think of the bacon guy, you know, and I think of you as Johnny Hates Marketing. What made you come up with that concept of Johnny Hates Marketing, and how would you say it took off? Because it's kind of your bacon.
Well, I have this very genre to thank for that, because I was guesting on a podcast. A Canadian guy has a podcast called Podcast Bay, Scott Doucette, great guy. And I'd launched my focus coaching business, and I was calling it the Success Party. And I thought that was brilliant. I thought everybody loves a party, and you know, everybody wants to be successful. But guess what? The market told me different. The Success Party meant nothing to anybody. So I was chatting about this, and we were talking, Scott and I, on this podcast. From what you're saying, I don't think you really like marketing at all. I said, no, I've had enough of that. I hate marketing. And he goes, spoiler alert, Johnny hates marketing. And I went, just say that again. And that's where it was born. You know, I just carried it from that broadcast. Within a week, I'd rebranded everything away from the successparty.com to johnnyhatesmarketing.com. And, you know, I think that there's a really kind of good lesson, if you like, to take away that, you know, just be one thing and
yep,
make it something fun and intriguing and something that speaks to your audience. You know, I mean, people join my group every day with a nice little direct message and say, look, great to find your group. I hate marketing too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if there is any wisdom and sort of genius behind that fortuitous name, it's exactly that, isn't it? It's using the language that my clients are using themselves. You
know? It's an interesting story that you bring up, because the origins of this podcast, it's funny because I started it about 5 years ago, and it was born out of a conference. And I went to a conference and saw this gentleman speak about doing podcasting, and I just immediately fell in love with it. So I went and registered the name My Marketing Magnet. I thought, MMM, you know, it's like, that's the name of this. So it was My Marketing Magnet. And I did it for about 3 months, and I got no listeners.
That's actually better in its own way than the success part. At least it's not completely vague, is it?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, the success party sounds like a, you know, kind of like a fringe British political party. We're the success party. We're here to bring everybody chicken in their pot.
You've watched Mary Poppins then, have you?
You know, that's what it sounded like to me when you said the success party. I'm going, you know, just maybe because of my mind's on politics lately. But, you know, but the biggest thing is that My Marketing Magnet got nowhere. And so I was on a call with the guy who did that presentation. He was a coach, and he was coaching me on the podcast. And, you know, finally everybody came to me and said, dude, you're stupid. It's the Bacon Podcast. And I went, okay. So I changed it to the Bacon Podcast, and immediately people started listening, and it shot up just by changing the name. So I can relate 100% to what you went through.
Yeah, it's the power of a third-party opinion, is it?
Yeah, sometimes we're just too, you know, too close to the forest to see the trees. And some of us just stand next to the tree and say, I only see one tree. What's wrong with this forest?
You just reminded me of a wise old sales manager. One of his favorite sayings, if you were going off track, he'd say, no, it's not that you're barking up the wrong tree. You're in the wrong forest.
Yes. That is good. So one of the things that we're going to talk about, your kind of superpower is the three pillars. Okay, so what are the three pillars of client attraction?
Yeah, and this came out of my transition from being this kind of, you know, general consultant, which I mentioned, you know, working with anybody who'd have me doing any job. You know, the answer was yes, what's the question kind of thing. From that kind of world of vagueness and generalism, transitioning to a world of specialism, you know, where I now work solely with coaches and therapists to help them find more of their ideal clients. The journey there was really discovering the three pillars for myself. And, you know, I discovered this from looking at other globally renowned coaches. You know, we've mentioned people like John Lee Dumas, but, you know, Frank Kern, even good old Tony, you know, that kind of thing, Tony Robbins. And I noticed they were all very, very clear on these three pillars. So the first pillar is what they do. You know, what their superpower is, what big transformational benefit they actually bring to the world. Sometimes called massive transformational benefit, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What's the one thing they do? You know, why would we have to invent them if they didn't exist? And, you know, my superpower is finding more ideal clients more easily without paid advertising. Who do I do that best for? Well, that's the second pillar, which is the who.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the people who benefit the most from what I do? Third pillar then is about productizing your services. And I don't believe that any coach should treat one-to-one coaching as their core proposition, because they're going to run out of time before they run out of ambition.
Mm-hmm.
There's no time leverage in it. So those are the three pillars. What is you do, who it's for, and how you deliver it, preferably productizing your services into a group.
I want to take that and I want to twist it. And we're going to dig into each one of those. I want to dig just a little bit. I don't want to go super, super deep into the weeds, but I want to go through each one of those in a little more detail. But what you've just described is everybody's LinkedIn profile. You have 120 characters. And in that 120 characters, you need to describe what you do, who you do it for, and either why or how.
Yeah.
And if you cannot put that, and I'm just saying to everybody what Johnny is saying right now, if you can do that in 120 characters and fit it into your LinkedIn profile, that super clarifies exactly what it is that you're doing. And that becomes a great exercise for you to figure that out, because 120 characters sounds like a lot. It's not.
No. Amen to that. And, you know, you've got to get to the point where people you want to work with see you as somebody that they want to work with as well. Mm-hmm. You know, on the back of one of my favorite current reads, it's Seth Marketing's new book called This Is Marketing. And on the back of it, there's just a wonderful phrase which, you know, resonates with me to the core. He says, people like us do things like this. And if you follow those three pillars, working out and defining, you know, and finding a way to put this out to the world, what you do, who it's for, and how you can deliver it, then people you want to attract are going to look at you and they're going to say, people like us work with people like Johnny.
Right. So out of those three pillars, which one should we start with and dig into, you know, give us a little better definition of that pillar. Which one do you start with?
Well, let's start with the first one, the what it is you do. You know, so many coaches and therapists who are spectacularly good at what they do are really bad at defining this. And I test my little community from time to time with, you know, a kind of really powerful engagement post, like a little question in the morning. I said something to them a few weeks back, like, what is the massive transformational benefit you bring to the world? And, you know, there's such a wide range of answers, but most of them were like crushingly vague, you know, and disappointing. Mm-hmm. Saying things like, oh, you know, I help people find their symphony.
Right.
Which is just kind of, what does that even mean? You know, who gets up in the morning and goes, shit, I lost my symphony. You know, I need someone to help me find my symphony. You know, it's just nonsense, isn't it?
Yep.
But, you know, this is what this dear lady is taking out to the world. And, you know, saying things like, I help people get unstuck. That's quite a common therapy thing, you know, because, you know, they know with all their glorious skills in there and the tools in the tool bag, you know, things like NLP, timeline therapy, hypnotherapy, you know, they can help people get unstuck. But what does that mean? You know, I really don't think that's an internal conversation that anybody's ideal client's having. As I say, people don't get up in the morning going, I need to get unstuck today, you know.
Right. So is there a secret sauce to figuring out what you do and how to say it better?
Well, it's kind of just looking at the world through your ideal client's eyes and going, you know, I know that's the second pillar, but if you just start with the first pillar, you've got to think, well, what of all the things I could do am I actually doing? You know, what am I actually doing? I asked this question recently as well. What do you really do for your clients? I think I said, what do your clients really pay you for? And people are saying things like, oh, hypnotherapy, you know. Well, that isn't actually what they pay you for. What they pay you for is to move their lives forward, you know, to create some change, some improvement. They want you to make them feel better. They're paying for the feeling you give them, not for the tools that you roll out in front of them. I'll give you a great analogy, and it's so silly, this, but it's so obvious. Imagine your washing machine's bust, and, you know, you've got 2 inches of water flooding through your kitchen. You get on the phone or on Google or whatever, you know, and find a washing machine repair dude, and it's usually a dude. There's not many women doing that, I guess, these days, or any day. And he walks in your lounge, and, you know, the water's flowing through your kitchen, and he tips his tool bag out in the lounge, and he goes, hey, look at this. It's a hammer. And do you know what? I've got a monkey wrench. And this is the best monkey wrench any plumber's ever had. It's $250. Look at it. Look how it turned. It's beautiful. You'd be going, just fix my washing machine, dude. That's what I want. That's what you're here for. Mm-hmm. And therein lies the hub of most coaches and therapists' problem. They can't describe what they actually do in a way that's of interest to anyone.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a perfect example of that. It's a story I tell all the time, and it's guy walks into Henry Ford's plant, and the boiler's not working, and so the whole assembly line shuts down. And so the guy walks up, pulls out a screwdriver, takes a look at the boiler, takes one screw, turns it a quarter turn, and all of a sudden the boiler starts working, the whole assembly line starts going. And then he hands a bill to Henry Ford, and Henry Ford looks at the bill and he says, "You're charging me $1,000 to turn a screw?" He says, "No, I'm charging you $1,000 to know which screw to turn and how far."
Yeah, exactly. And there are variations on that, isn't there, with the welder and the shipyard and all that.
Yep, sure. But it's the same story, but that's the concept, is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
I love that. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Yeah, it's wonderful. So just going back to that what thing, you know, it is much more focused on outcome, on feeling. You know, before I pay a coach any money, and I believe me, I do, and I am doing, I want to know what they're going to change for me. You know, how is my life going to be different when I've worked with this lady or this guy? Compared with how it was beforehand, you know, what's the journey? Talk to them about the journey, you know, in a way that resonates with me, you know, and that gives me the change that I want. You know, that what is got to be the starting point. Otherwise, people are not going to come knocking on your door at all, are they?
No, not at all. And leading by example is, you always want to find somebody who's more successful than you. If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. So you always want to fill your room with people that are smarter than you so you can learn. So let's figure out the person. How do we get to the who? And how do we figure out who those people are who would be willing to turn their hard-earned dollars into something where they feel like they get some value from us?
Yeah. I mean, if you're just starting out as a coach, I think you can kind of take your pick. And the whole client avatar thing is about finding someone that you're going to enjoy working with, number one. Somebody who's going to enjoy working with you and get a massive transformational benefit from it. And thirdly, and just as importantly, somebody who can afford to pay you. So, you know, don't fall into this kind of therapist mindset of healing the world. And, you know, some of the tools, some of the skills that my community learns are very, very suited to helping people overcome addiction. You know, overcoming PTSD, for example, overcoming deep trauma. Well, that's okay, apart from the point that it's a bit general. But often, if someone is really, really suffering, you know, from debilitating PTSD or alcoholism or drug abuse, oftentimes they've trashed their life, you know, as part of that process, or their life has fallen to pieces. So they can't afford to pay. So I don't think it's a good idea, and this might sound brutal because I'm as heart-centered as the next guy, you know, but I don't think it's a good idea to build a business around helping people who are broken, you know, and expecting to earn a living from that. Because one thing's for sure, you know, in the service business, in our industry, your average earnings are going to be in line with the average earnings of your average client.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you only work with multimillionaires, you'll become a multimillionaire yourself. You know, that's just how it is. That's just how it works.
Right.
And the same applies all the way down the ladder. So when we're starting with a clean sheet of paper, and I'm saying to my clients, you know, think of an ideal client. Well, don't forget the third leg of that three-legged stool. Sure, you enjoy working with them. Sure, they're going to get something out of it too. But number three, can they afford to pay you? So, you know, it's often useful to kind of anchor your ideal client, your client avatar, in their profession. You know, what they do for a living. At least you can corral groups of them together then, can't you?
People
declare their professions on LinkedIn, don't they? That's the number one thing they talk about.
Exactly.
You can even find people in groups, you know. So I think that those are the kind of four bits of the client avatar. Is somebody you'll enjoy working with. People who enjoy working with you, number two. Number three, they can afford to pay you. And number four, they're visible to you. You know, they're findable.
I love it. So how do we get to the how? Because that seems to be the thing. That's the third pillar, right?
Yeah. So having done those two pillars, it's still really easy to blow it at that point. It's still really easy to set yourself up for failure. And the way to do that is just to go to the market, go to the world and say, look, let's have a session. You know, let's have a coaching session. This is how much I charge per hour. The trouble with that is not that, you know, you can't be successful doing it. Well, there's a couple of things. Firstly, you're opening yourself up to competition. If you're just a therapist who charges $70 an hour, well, there are other therapists in your town who are going to be charging $60 an hour. you know, and the old Seth Godin race to the bottom is not a race you want to compete in, is it? So that's the first thing. But the other thing about if you're just selling your time one-to-one, I think the greatest risk in doing that is that you become successful. And what I mean by that is, if you're a therapist and you've got a practice and, you know, you sell your slots by the hour, one-to-one to single people, what's the most amount of work you could do in a week, do you think? Actual therapy work, probably 20 hours, 25 hours? Because the rest of your 40, 50, 60-hour working week, you're going to want to be prospecting, aren't you? Talking to potential clients, doing some paperwork, you know, doing your tax returns, whatever else it is you do around your business.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have 40 hours a week of therapy. That simply wouldn't work. So I'm going to set a maximum of 20 to 25 at $70 an hour. So what you're doing then is you're actually capping your revenue at $1,400 to $2,000 a week. That might sound a lot if you're just starting out, but it ain't. You're just scratching the surface. But you're going to be exhausted, aren't you? You're going to be exhausted. You've got no time to think, no downtime, you know, no life balancing, all that. You really don't want to be doing that. The other thing is then, where do you grow from there? You know, you've got no more hours left in the week. I always say, you know, you're going to run out of time before you run out of ambition if your core offering is one-to-one coaching by the hour. So the third pillar, which is how you deliver, leads to creating a program. Even a couple of programs, but one to start with. And I think your core program to start with should be a group coaching program where you are leveraging your time by two or three or four. You've got more than one person on the program at the same time. It's prescriptive. You know, it's potentially a light touch for you. You can deliver some of it by video or, you know, downloadable information, you know, during the program. But whatever you do, you're leveraging your time, you know. And you've only got to look at, you know, the concept of proximity pricing in sports and entertainment. If you go to a gig, the nearer you get to the stage, the more you got to pay, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you go to a football match, you know, you can stand in, what do you call them in the States, the bleachers or something? I don't know.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
For $20. Or you can go in the director's box or whatever you call it in the States, and it's $200, you know.
Try 200,000 sometimes.
I do believe that the nearer clients get you, the more they should pay. So, you know, for God's sake, put a group program together, give people the value, mm-hmm. give people the experience of getting close to you, but in a group setting, you know, leverage your time, earn a bit more money for doing it, charge them a bit less for doing it, and everybody's happy, you know?
Yep.
And then your one-to-one offerings, the VIP thing at the top of your pyramid for the people who can truly afford it.
Well, and I don't mean to take this off on a bad tangent, but you're a musician, I'm a musician. I'm assuming you've seen the movie This Is Spinal Tap, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what you've just basically described is Nigel Tufnel saying these all go to 11. You know, you can't go any further up. And it's like, well, what happens if you want to turn it up? He says, well, these go to 11. You know, it's that kind of mindset. It's you've used up all your time. You've used up all your resources. So I love that. Those three pillars are spot on. So, you know, number one, you know, you've really got to know what you do. Number two, you got to know who you do it for. And then you got to figure out the how. So those things are spectacular. I think that lays a great groundwork to figure out exactly how to run your business from a coaching standpoint. But I also think it works for anybody in any business. Even if you're doing manufacturing, all of that is, you know, you still have the same kind of stuff is, you know, what do you do? How do you do it? And, you know, all of those things, there's always limited resources in all of them. So if people wanted to learn more about you, this groups that you're working on, the kind of stuff, what's the best way for them to follow you, get a hold of you, do those kind of things?
Oh, you know, just hit us up on Facebook, you know, in the Johnny X Marketing Facebook group. Facebook search is very, very good to me. If you type in Johnny X Marketing, you ain't going to find anybody else. It's just me.
Mm-hmm.
So just join the group, guys. Just join the group. You know, that's where it all happens. And you know, we'll take you from there. I have a paid community. I have my monthly signature program called the Client Attraction Blueprint, which is, you know, full up for July. We're opening for August this week. I've got a couple of people pre-registered already. So, you know, just hit us up on the group on Facebook. That's where the magic happens.
Sounds good. And if people want to get a hold of you any other way, is there an email or something that they could hit you up on?
Yeah, I mean, Johnny's spelled without the huh, so it's J-O-N-N-E.
So you mean J-O-N-N-Y?
That's the one. And so it's just Johnny at JohnnyHates.marketing.
Perfect. All right, man. Well, Johnny, this has been a blast. Pleasure talking with you. I had so much fun on your podcast that I had to have you on mine. And everything was just, man, you dropped some incredible sizzle and hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps with this theory that you have with the three pillars. And I hope people join your group and follow you. I do. I go in and comment on stuff. I love it. I mean, there's a lot of great engagement.
I massively appreciate you being there, man. But well, I've really enjoyed it today. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Thanks for joining us.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.